right back there like he always is. The head basketball coach of the Houston Cougars. He is in his 10th season there. 764 career wins. He is a four-time American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. Led the Cougs to the Final Four in 2021. An Elite Eight run in 2022. They have reached the Sweet 16 for five straight years, and they've got a big one tomorrow in Dallas. They take on the four seed Duke. We are joined right now by Houston head basketball coach Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin, my friend, good to have you back as always. How you feeling?
Jim, I know things are going well if I'm talking to you this time of year, so it's great to be on with you, brother.
My man, you and I always talk this time of year, so things are always going pretty well. Listen, you, before we talk about Duke, Kelvin, you were able to grind out that huge OT win over Texas A&M on Sunday. You said that Murphy's Law kicked in when A&M went on that 17-5 run in the final 2 minutes of regulation to tie it up. So let me ask you this. With so many things going wrong at the end of regulation, how much resilience and toughness did your guys show in getting back up off the mat to win that game in OT?
There's no question we did, but I think the thing that wasn't talked about enough was how great Texas A&M played. Buzz had a great game plan. Instead of running a normal traditional offense, he just spread us and drove us and tried to get to the free throw line. And then when their guards created separation and we had to get up to help, then they dominated the offensive glass. So their resilience and their toughness was just as good as ours was. We played a lot of really good teams this year, and I'm not going to rank them, but that Texas A&M team, that's the reason they've won five straight games in the SEC. They played tremendous against us. But our kids are, we had four starters foul out. We had to have a walk-on come off the bench and make a key free throw. They just kicked our butts on the glass, but our kids just kind of hung in there. As a parent and as a coach, you tell your kids just keep showing up and working hard, and good things will happen for you. I think that's really what that game was about. A&M was kicking our butts, we started kicking their butts, and we're kind of going back and forth. And that at the last 2 minutes was just chaos. And then over time, our kids, I think, really showed what our culture is about and how tough we are.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Kelvin, I'm so glad you mentioned that about A&M. I thought they played their guts out. I thought that Buzz did a tremendous job, and they did show a lot of toughness. You know, to your point, you had four guys foul out. So one of the amazing things about March Madness is when unlikely heroes emerge in those big moments. And you mentioned your walk-on, senior walk-on, Ryan Elvin. He attempted four free throws, Kelvin, the entire year. He made a key one with 17 seconds left to put your team up by those two possessions. What were you thinking when he stepped to the line in that pressure situation?
I was hoping he'd make the second one because I think the pressure, and he wasn't in the game long enough to get a sweat up. I mean, literally, he had just, Jamal Shedd had just fouled out, and the only eligible person left on our roster was Ryan. So if somebody else fouled out, we'd have had to play 5-on-4. So I said, Ryan, get in there. And as soon as he went in, it was our ball, and he got open on the baseline at the far end. One of their kids fouled him, and now he's going to the free throw line. We're up three with 16, 17 seconds left. If he makes one, it's a two-possession game. So to drag the drama out, Jim, he misses the first one. So now the tension and the nervousness was behind our bench where our fans were was almost palpable. But it's just, this was Ollie from Hoosiers. This is your little son, your son practicing against the older kids or in the neighborhood. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? But let me tell you something. That kid is tough as nails. He's a captain. He never misses practice. He cooks for the team. He's the team's conscience almost. Ryan stabilizes us a lot of days because everybody loves him and respects him, coaches and players. So when he made that second free throw, and by the way, the net barely moved. That's how pure that stroke was. I put us up four, and I think everybody was just as excited for Ryan making it as, than it was for the Cougars making it.
I was going to say, Kelvin, it's one thing that it was such a big free throw and you had to have it, but the way you lay that out, everybody must have been so pumped for the kid. You mentioned Jamal Shedd. Obviously, that's a guy who can really make things go, but he's not alone. I want to ask you about Emmanuel Sharp. He had a great game. In fact, he picked a great game to have arguably his best game. He scored a career-high 30 in that win. How far has he come this season in more than doubling his scoring average from a year ago?
Yeah, I tell you what, our game against our first conference game on the road was at Iowa State way back in early January. And that was a little bit of his coming out party. I think he had 20 in that game. But, you know, Emmanuel's made 82 threes this year. Now, LJ Cryer's made 111. And I would think anywhere above 60, 70 free throws, threes is considered he is a really good three-point shooter. But Emmanuel, from where he was when he got here, he didn't play the first 18 months because he had a horrific leg injury and had to have surgery. So he spent more time with the training staff and our strength staff than he did on the basketball court. And when he got back last year, he was our sixth man, but he still had a 8-inch metal rod in his left leg. And so when he went back home to Tampa, Florida after the season and they removed the rod, when he came back in July, he was a different guy. He was moving better. His athleticism was back. His swagger was back. And even though we took Damian Dunn from Temple as a transfer, who's really played well for us here lately, Emmanuel was just hard for him to beat out. You know, we had anticipated those two going at it to see who would start, and Emmanuel won the job, and when he got his swagger back, he's just gotten better and better. But being around LJ and Jamal has helped Emmanuel, too, because both those kids are very professional and mature in their approach every day.
We're talking culture. We're talking about leadership. Kelvin Sampson joining us. You know, Kelvin, TV cameras also captured a patch of the number 32 that your players are wearing on their jersey to honor their former teammate, Reggie Chaney. He was part of that 2021 Final Four team. He passed away last August. You brought him up when you addressed your team at halftime of that game. Why did he come to your mind at that moment, and what did you tell your guys?
You know, the way you phrased that question, Jim, was perfect. So at halftime, I think we were up by 5, 43-38. But our front line hadn't hit the drop. We didn't get anything out of them. JVA was in the witness protection program, Javier Francis, and Simon Roberts was nursing a sore or an injured left leg, and he was kind of limping around. I got the feeling they were feeling sorry for themselves. And, you know, you're facing 20 minutes where you lose these 20 minutes, you're probably going to go home against a really good A&M team. And so I brought up Reggie because I knew what he would do in that moment. He would fight. He would scrap. He would knock somebody's head off. I mean, he is a tough, tough dude. And he would be the last guy that would be sitting in the locker room at halftime knowing it's a game that is going to either send us on or send us home, feeling sorry for himself or not having had a rebound or not having given great effort. So I just looked at J1 and JVR, and I was addressing it to those two specifically. And I said, you know, these were the moments where I miss Reggie the most. Is when we're faced with this predicament on the road, in a hostile environment, even though it's a neutral court and we had fans too, but you know what I mean. But I said, J1 and Jay, what would Reggie do right now? And I made him answer me. That wasn't a rhetorical question. It was one that I required an answer. J1, what would he do? He just looked at me and said, I'm waiting, J1. What would Reggie do? He said he would fight. Then I looked at J1 because he this time last year, he was on this team fighting for us. And I asked Jay the same thing. He said he would fight. He said, well, then just do what Reggie would do. Go fight. And I think that's what they did. That's what probably what they needed to hear at that moment.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Really interesting. You've got a big one coming up, Kelvin, of course, against Duke. A Duke team, Kelvin, that's gotten really hot at the right time. They pounded James Madison on Sunday. I really didn't see that coming. What are the biggest challenges that you think they present in this matchup? How do you feel about the matchup itself?
Well, John's done a great job of building this roster. They've got one of the toughest matchups, inside-outside guy in football. Filipowski. Mitchell doesn't get talked about enough. He's really good. And he's also their tough guy, their enforcer inside, their best defender, the terrific rebounder. Filipowski is the same thing. He is tough as nails, make threes, can post you up, really good interior passer. But it's Roach, McCain, those guards. I mean, I've been so impressed with the improvement of Proctor since he got there. So McCain, Proctor, and Roach, they're all three combo guards, but all three can play point guard. And I think that makes them extra dangerous because they know when to pass, they know when to shoot. McCain is not your normal freshman. That dude epitomizes swagger. He thinks he is the biggest, baddest dude in the room, and he plays like it. He might be a freshman, but he plays like he's their best player, and I'm not sure he's not.
I mean, you got to respect that, and you got to like that about a young guy. So, Kelvin, leave me with this thought. Like, the team has dealt with multiple season-ending injuries. As you point out, in the last game, you had four guys foul out. You could have been playing 4-on-5. So there's been a lot of adversity, yet you're right back in the Sweet 16 for a fifth straight year. I know nobody in that locker room is going to take a step back. I know you're going there to win that game. But given the sort of toughness and the sort of things they've overcome this year, I'm not asking you to pick your favorite team ever, but is this one of your favorite groups? Groups ever?
No doubt. And I'm glad you didn't ask me to pick my favorite team. I don't know who said this, but it's true. Comparison is the thief of joy. Because I've enjoyed every team I've ever coached here. But this group probably has had the most adversity other than the very first team I had. Because it started back in December when Terrence Arsenault, who had 19 rebounds in his two games prior to the game where he tore his Achilles and was out for the year. He was playing his best basketball. And then later in February, JoJo broke his foot, had to have surgery. And then right after that, Ramon Walker, who's kind of our culture warrior on our team, along with Roberts sprained his lateral meniscus, and we thought he was having surgery, and he decided not to. But you know when all this started, though, for this team, Jim, was when Reggie Chaney died. That was our first adversity, you know, our biggest one, was when last year ended in late May, we found out that Reggie had passed away. That was a big hit. That weighed heavy on that team all summer, and we carried it into the fall. And then when the season, that actually happened in August when we got back from our Australia trip. And we carried that into our fall workout. And you could almost feel him. You could feel him not there. He'd been there the last 3 years. He started on a Final Four team. Key contributor to an Elite Eight team and a Sweet 16 team. And he was kind of my security blanket. So not having him there was a huge adversity. And then the season ended, injuries started hitting. And it was like, okay, we lost Terrence, we lost JoJo, we lost Ramon. But how does that compare to losing Reggie? And that's how I've been able to put it all in perspective.
Yeah, that's really heavy, really heavy. It seems to me, and I'm not there, Kelvin, I'm not part of the group, but it seems to me like that's not something you ever really get over, ever. You hope to get beyond it somehow, some way. but you never get over something like that, and you never forget it. Kelvin Sampson is in his 10th year at Houston, and they're on to the Sweet 16. As always, a very real and a very raw conversation. Great matchup against Duke coming up in Dallas tomorrow. Kelvin, I appreciate you making time for us and for me and for this show like you always do come tournament time. Good luck this weekend, and it's great to talk to you as always, my man.
Always here. Always same here, Jim. Thanks for having me on, brother.
You got it. Kelvin Sampson joining us. We've done this for a lot of years, Kelvin and I. Pretty much everywhere he's ever been. He and Houston going up against Duke. I thought that Duke would beat JMI, but I did not, or JMU, but I did not expect him to do to them what they did to them. They made a real statement. And Houston just keeps fighting. They just keep battling, and they just keep overcoming everything.